You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hi, I'm Dan Soder.
And I'm Big J. Okerson.
And you're listening to The Best of the Bonfire. Stay tuned to hear some of our favorite moments from this week. You can listen to The Bonfire live every Monday through Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. on Comedy Central Radio, Sirius XM 95, or on demand on the Sirius XM app. Also, be sure to follow us on all social media at The Bonfire SXM.
Hi, it's Jacob, and welcome to The Bonfire's Best of the Week. No one on the show can claim that high school were their best years, but after Jay and Dan confessed to having miserable school dance experiences, two show producers admitted to having a couple of dance malfunctions of their own.
I went to like three dances total, and I hated all of them.
I went to two. One of them was in eighth grade, and a girl took pity on me. She knew I had a giant crush on her.
Oh, I thought you were about to say a giant dick. I thought that's how you're going to reveal it. She goes, she knew I had a hog.
I had never danced with a girl before, aside from a family member at a wedding. Got onto the floor with her, and the song started, and I held her hand and her waist, and I immediately full-boned up on the floor.
Jacob? And
I had no control.
You are a high school rom-com, dude.
I love you dance like this.
I love dancing. I love such formal dancing gave you a boner.
My thin slacks.
And I didn't know what to do because it wasn't that crowded. And I know, looking back on it, like teachers were laughing. You know, they were like monitoring the dance, but I had
they were staring at your dick.
You're telling me that chaperones were like, dude, come here.
I see your tent pulling over there, bro, and I'm gonna need you to back that shit down.
Yeah.
Full, not quarter, not half. I full boned in my pants on the floor, and I had to hunch dance with her. I couldn't walk off the floor because it was so obvious. And then when the song, I couldn't wait for the song to end because, I mean, also I wanted it to go on forever because I was dancing.
I honestly thought you were going to say, like, I wanted it to go on forever because I was close to popping.
Black Lou, you said you had good dance experience, bad dance experiences. I thought you would have been a fucking...
Most of my dance experiences were great, other than the first one. The first one was like seventh grade. You know how they used to have the dances and they'd also have the like something else going on in the school at the same time. So they had like a tricky tray basically going on at the same time. It's basically like a sweepstakes. Everybody signs up and they bid on an item, but it's a silent bid.
Oh, silent auction. Yeah, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, stuff like that. I was dating this black girl named Tiffany. And I had...
Are we going to dial it back? Is Tiffany going to be the one that turned you right to the white ass?
The whole thing, right?
Is this your fucking origin story of you tagging pink puss?
So this was like my first dance. I went out. I got a new shirt, new khakis, new shoes. Thought I was fly. Like, new haircut, everything. I was in there chilling. I noticed people, like, start looking at me as I'm dancing with her. So I'm thinking, that's awesome. Same thing as Jacob. The hardest boner I had ever had. I didn't even know I had a boner. That's how hard it was. And
crazy.
Teachers were like one by one taking me and walking me to the tricky tray for 5 minutes to calm down and then walk back there. And I would still get the hard on. Like, I didn't realize until later on in the dance what was happening. And even then I still couldn't control it. So
wait, you were wearing MC Hammer pants where you can really see a boner.
Fucking had a carnival under those things.
They were walking you to the what, Lou? Did you call it? What's the tricky tray?
They took
him over to like a, just sort of like to the back of the room where there was like a little like a silent auction thing going on. The teacher.
Oh.
He didn't realize they were walking him away from the dance to like let his bone go down and then send him back out there.
Dude, they're talking to each other and they go, "Who wants to take Lewis on a cool off lap?"
Yeah. All right, put it back in. Guys, we got to get Lou over in the penalty box again.
Yeah, he's hard sticking.
He's high sticking.
Hey everyone, it's Black Lou. Sal Vulcano joined the show this week. After getting into a discussion of embarrassing childhood moments, Sal recalled a memory that still haunts him till this day. I mean, I think it would haunt everyone. Take a listen.
My mom messed me up.
Yeah, your mom did a couple like humiliate. My mom humiliate you in front of friends.
I mean, I could fill the whole 2 hours, but we the one that I mean, she humiliates me daily in front of friends, to, like daily, like even today in quarantine, she humiliates me. But one that stood out the second you said it, unprompted, unrequested. She shows up, and I used to take the train to school when I started high school.
Yeah.
And we used to, all the kids from my neighborhood, we used to walk to the same train station about a mile from my house, grabs me a train station. And I used to take that, then the stop, a few stops, and the stop was directly at the high school. Coming home was the reverse.
Yeah.
So get off of the train station and walk home a mile. So one day she decides, she picks up my sister from school. She decides to show up. I'm a freshman. It's the first like few months of high school. So I'm really trying to, it's still like wet cement really, you know, like I'm trying to like establish who I'm going to be with this group of people. She comes to pick me up. Doesn't even tell me. She thinks she's doing me a favor. She thinks it's funny that she's dressed like Homie the Clown from In Living Color.
Oh, man.
Makeup. A full outfit.
Did she have the sock? Did she have the sock?
No.
Oh.
But she had. She wasn't in like you know, like blackface or anything. She was just. I forget exactly what Homie the Clown looks like, but we loved it. Like we used to Homie the Clown at the restaurant. She knew I loved it, so she's trying to do something nice. She shows up. At least she didn't have that big collar, but she shows up and she goes, Sal, and I hear, I'm walking with my friends. I'm holding, and that day too, we didn't have lockers, so I'm holding every textbook I have in a duffel bag. And I hear her going, Sal, and I stopped. And I was with two of my friends and all the like older kids. And I said, please don't be, I don't know why my mother's calling me and why this is her voice. I turn around. I was already going to be embarrassed that she's calling me like, I'll drive you. I turned around and she was loaded in this outfit. She's like, no, I'm Homie the Clown. Right.
Oh boy.
Scene from a movie. Right. I looked at her. I got speeches. I took like three steps back. It was like the beach at Saving Private Ryan. I dropped my duffel bag. I heard the textbooks hit the concrete. I turned, didn't say anything to anyone. I turned and just ran until I tired. Had to be a good mile. I ran home, basically.
And then your mother, the clown, had to go retrieve your textbooks, I assume, and really spent some extra time with the people.
She was 10 feet away. She got the bag, got in the car, and then I saw her home later on. And she's like, what are you doing? What's the problem? You can't run from me like that. And I was like,
funny that you ran from her like she was it.
Dude, Sal Forrest Gump.
The first few minutes.
She had coronavirus and was running toward me coughing.
That's the first 5 minutes of Pennywise, of it. That's how it started. You hear Sal. And by the way, when you turn around and realize it's your mom, you were hoping that it was only an evil clown that you could only see yourself.
Hey, Sal.
It's also the beginning of Forrest Gump. Which is when he gets upset, he runs so the leg braces come off.
He's going to put a New York accent on it. He goes, when I was tired, I ate, you know, some good gnocchi in Pittsburgh. And when I was tired, I slept, you know, but I kept running.
I gotta tell you, I understand the sweetness of the gesture, but I don't know how she thought that was going to go any other way than to show up on freshman day and have the mom who came as a clown. There's adult men right now, Sal, who tell that story also of your mother.
Oh, for sure.
There's no doubt people tell that story because there was a good couple of dozen kids.
Oh.
Was it immediately brought up the next day? Like someone was like, was your mom dressed like Homie the Clown? Did anyone guess Homie the Clown?
She sang it. Oh. She sailed it. She said, look, Homie the Clown. And I can't believe it. I never reacted like that. Did you ever cry, but rage cry?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my dad drank himself till he looked like Fire Marshal Bill. So, yeah, I rage cries.
I remember when I was running, I was like crying and screaming at the same time because I was like, I was enraged, but I was so mortified that it was coming out as tears. And I was running in a Catholic school uniform. I was disregarding intersections and I just was going, ah! And then when she got home, sorry if I spiked the mic. When she got home, I I couldn't even get the words to tell her, what were you thinking? And then she made it worse because she showed no remorse for it.
Oh.
She's just like, oh, stop. I was like, this is the social death of me now.
It was...
Thankfully, you did it wasn't. As you know now, I'm very social. But
it would have been so awesome if she did do full blackface and then clown makeup. Like, if she really went all in.
And him on the shows up like dressed, Al Jolson.
She had the wig, the shoes, and the outfit, and the paint. She probably was more of a clown, but she intended in her head that she was only the clown.
Campers, what's up? It's Black Lou. Jay and Jacob have been tearing through more episodes of their new favorite show, Supernatural, and their fascination with Jensen Ackles and the best ways to kill demons has been growing.
It just makes you crazy. There's an episode I just watched where Jensen Ackles has to make a deal with the devil.
Do me a favor. Can you please call him? I just watched that episode myself. His name's Dean. His name's Dean.
Dean Winchester.
Yes, yes.
Has Dean's to make son. A deal with the devil. They're on the crossroads. Mm-hmm. Maybe the hottest girl I've ever seen. But then by the next episode, I know she's going to be the second hottest.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
am I wrong, Jay?
The Satan was a hot chick for sure. For sure. A hot chick.
She like, what did she do? Did she like nag him into the deal where she's like, what? You don't want any?
Dan.
It's like fire tits.
He ultimately had to make a deal. And part of her deal was that she had to make out with him or she wouldn't go through with it because he's so turned on by him.
She did. The devil walked up to him and went, my, my, Dean Winchester, you are nice to look at. I've heard the rumors, but...
All of hell is talking about how hot he is.
Yeah,
you know they're all talking about... They're not wrong.
He goes, I'll tell you what, these paranormal hunters, man, like, oh, they are pains in the asses, but yeah, there's this one.
Dude, you guys ever seen Dean? And they go, what's up? They go, I'll let him lock me in a spirit box anytime he wants.
It was funny too. Season two, we're both on season two, me and Jacob both. And I gotta tell you, I don't know if the other brother is just getting so less appealing to me because Dean's so hot, or if Dean is somehow actually getting exponentially better looking. The guy doesn't have a bad angle. I'm telling you, I did a deep dive on Dean Ackles last night. I go, I got to see what this guy's life's about. And it looks like it's pretty. He does what he wants, dude. He grows a nice long beard.
He does what he wants.
He grows a nice long beard when the show's not happening. He's got a smoking hot wife, two daughters, runs a brewery.
And, dude, I love you coming back, just knowing your ability to take people down a peg. And you're like, guy's got nothing. He's clean.
I'll tell you, his down right now. Is I'm seeing him right now from 2006, I guess, is season two, 2006. And when I looked at his Instagram, I will say, while a handsome man still, I will say that he is, you see the 15 years on him for sure.
I think he actually matured well, but I'll tell you one thing, Jay.
He did. He's because the other one's getting Jack Nicholson hair, as Christine called it. Yes?
Dude, that's great. Nicholson hairs.
The other brother.
Well, I can tell you Jensen Ackles not losing any muscle mass during this quarantine because I watched his Architectural Digest tour of his house with his wife, full gym inside. And he was training for a marathon.
Damn, dude.
The guy's just ripped.
Yeah, he's very into sports and shit. He's just a real dude.
Hang out with him.
And I'll tell you what.
If you're the devil, you want to make out with him.
Yeah.
And if you're Jacob, you want to run down the street screaming about him.
Not a terrible actor, but I will come back to this every time, and I have to say it. And Jacob, I feel like it was one of the very recent episodes after I brought it up to you that I believe he has a sentence in the yes, the other one. Yes, he's getting Jack Nicholson hair. Jacob, I want to say to you, the sentence that it was said on the show the other day is like, yo, you keep saying we can't waste this dude until you say I can waste him, but I'm ready to smoke this thing right now. And it's like... You're talking about an apparition.
Yeah, dude, that's how you're
talking about. Like they're all wearing Tupac bandanas.
He goes, yo, let's go get a backwoods and then roll this fucking ghost up and smoke him.
And I'll tell you what, dude. When in doubt, if you ever even believe for a second, or sort of believe, there's an outside chance that you might have some creepy paranormal stuff happen in your life. You have salt in the house. Odds are you're fine.
Yes. you put a salt barrier, make sure the circle is complete. Like, don't leave even a centimeter of a gap, or they can
wait. Can you say that again? So if you have a ghost in your house, you make a salt circle?
If you don't want an evil entity to get you, you create a salt barrier around the entire any entrance.
You gotta salt the windows and doors.
Here's the problem, and it does seem to work at times on the show. However, when necessary for story moving forward, a lot of times they'll be like, demon, what, we salted the doors, and they go, you think that shit works on me? And you're like, I thought it yeah, that's no. The thing, the whole show's rooted in the idea that that works on
that
you
salt. Yeah, that's
you can't turn the only good science in the show on its head.
I mean, only good science.
Like, them in the middle of a pentagram and they can't get out of that.
I love that.
Salt is always involved. I promise you, if it's a ghost or any kind of evil, you can shoot it with a salt shotgun thing. If you want to keep them out of your place, this is absolutely true, and Jacob will back this up. If it's something you need to keep out of your place or out of, like, you know, an area, you create a border of salt that they can't get through. And if it's a vengeful spirit, all you got to do is find the remains and salt and burn them. And they, by season two, which is what I'm in now and Jacob's in, they say the things like, they have to start writing complications in, because they go, oh, yeah, look at that. That little girl was taken and killed by that vengeful spirit. It's like, all right, so we just got to find the remains, salt and burn the bones, we're out of here. And they go, yes, but also they think you're a murderer and you're going to be dealing with the cops a lot. Like, oh, okay, that's okay.
What if you didn't know that the entire time this thing was on the CW, all the commercials were for, like, high blood pressure medication? That's why it was. Neuranthium. Are you eating a lot of salt? Are you dealing with evil spirits? Neuranthium for your blood pressure.
Is your sodium up?
Dan, and I think Jay will back me up this. Two things. First of all, they trip and fall into the hottest pussy you've ever. Like, the most bumfuck towns have the most smoking hot girls in it, and you've never also seen so many hot moms that they seem to have a 10-year-old kid and they're 23-year-old women or something.
The girls are
supernatural. Okay.
the girls are smoking hot. The girls are all smoking hot on the show they have to deal with, and I will say this. Not only are some of them mothers, some of them are not. Some of them widows, but every single one available for that D. They are all available. And I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter if the episode's about their husband dying. They're still ready for that D.
What if that's how the show ends and Dean is murdered by a husband that he almost, Dean, you know how he never bangs him. He just kisses him.
So you hear the argument of the couple. He goes, don't give me that ghost hunter shit again, Darlene.
Hi, this is DJ Lou. And on this week's Quarantine Lost Tapes, Aaron Berg and Joe DeRosa joined the guys to talk about the hacky things that impressionists do that drive them absolutely crazy. And also, what makes Dan Soto a great comedian and impressionist? Here's a clip.
One of my favorite things ever, he's like, man, grocery stores are pretty crazy. Grocery stores are pretty crazy. You're walking down the aisle, and it's like, what am I, in an episode of Saturday Night Fever? I'm trying to get bread. And yeah,
that's,
dude.
Absolutely. That's a great bad one. But when they get the bulk, I just always remember one I was doing. Did any of you guys ever do the Italian Villa East comedy club? It was like in Lancaster, PA. It was an Amish country, but it was an Italian restaurant and attached to a roadside motel where you would stay.
And I know what you're talking about.
In the back there, and there was like a comedy club in the back. Uh-huh. As a comedy room, if you could draw audience to it, it wouldn't have been like a bad show necessarily. It was just like everything else about it just fucking sucked. I watched some comic that just did a setup, and I'd watch five shows. I was opening for him.
Yeah.
And it was like, he goes, I had a dream the other night, really weird dream. And I went to a Burger King. And it just, I think I may have said this on the show before, even Dan, have I? He's like, I had a dream the other night. And I mean, it was crazy. Basically, what he just might as well have said, he goes, and everyone I happened to do an impression of was working there. But he didn't say that. He just goes, I had a dream. I was at a Burger King. He goes, and then he gives you, like, it's like eight things. And then you have to remember he does them all, so then he can go through the thing and do the. I mean, like, you know, like Dice covered this in 85 or whatever on Dice Man Cometh. You know what I mean? Like the impression delivery like that, like the camping trip thing. But he even does it such a campy delivery of that he's getting ready to do it and overhyping it. This guy just goes, I had a dream. Homer Simpson was the manager. And it was every one year. It was like Stallone on fries. Arnold Schwarzenegger was working the drive-through. Well, and it's just like,
are you all the police?
You forget how they, we got enough burger patties.
No!
You're forgetting the greatest way that they walk someone into the impression is they just go, and so-and-so was there. Like, they're blown away.
Dude,
you're like,
oh, yeah. My least favorite, my two least favorite things that impressionists do. Number one, when they're in the scenario, so they'll be like doing Stallone, and they'll be like, "Hey, I don't know, you know? Hey, Arnold Schwarzenegger, what do you think?" And then that's how he throws it. That drives you nuts. And I hate when they start the impression and they go, "Okay, okay, this is Regis Philbin here. Okay, you fuck." I'll fucking punch his throat over that.
Finally, it's so bad.
I have to tell you who it is.
Pee-wee Herman. Pee-wee Herman. I'm President Bill Clinton.
Oh,
I
dude.
Approve of this pussy.
Or when they see the person, they react to the person like they're in the room. They go, President Barack Obama, what are you doing here? And he goes, well, I just came to talk to you because I was in the neighborhood. And you're like, oh, my God.
Man, I got to find it again. Dan Perlman recorded this thing years ago. He had a guy. He was bombing so bad at this open mic doing his impressions that he started saying the wrong person for the impression. He just goes, he's like, fucking, he goes, he's like, fucking Obama with his fucking cocky ass. And he just goes, politics. And he just did an impression of Bill Clinton. What?
Politics.
But I'm not doing any justice. I'll get the audio. It's so fucking good. That's the guy. You know, I definitely played this. I played this clip for you before. I had it on my phone because the guy goes, at the end, he goes, a lot of people in the world like to fucking slap. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people out there I'd love to slap. Like Snooki, I'd like to fucking slap her. Hulk Hogan, love to give him a good slap. And he goes, and the most slappable motherfucker of all, the most slappable, Gene Simmons. You know? Just like to slap that guy. And then and there was no jokes attached to that. And he goes, you know what's crazy though now? He goes, you know what's crazy though now? They got the lesbians now. You know what I mean? Like, lesbians used to be cool. You know, I used to get down with lesbians, you know, but now they want to be all gay and shit. Hey, Frankie, everybody, I'm Frankie Badoodoo, whatever. And he goes, now they want to be all gay and shit.
I'm Frankie Schmutz.
I'm Frankie Fajol. You guys have been you.
Dan, you are very lucky that you have good taste.
Dude, I'm so lucky.
You have the ability and the impressions to have an act like this.
I honestly had to, while we were talking about it, I had to go back in my head and I go, at the very beginning, did I ever do anything like this? And I'm
like, no, Dan, let me tell you, I swear to you, unprompted last night on a conversation that has nothing to do with what we're saying right here.
Yeah.
I was talking to someone and had a conversation about this very thing. I was like, everybody, every comedian to some degree falls into some kind of archetype of a comic that can just, you could be the hack thing of that. And then it just comes down to if you're a genuinely fucking funny human being or not, or able to construct the idea. At the end of the day, if I really just did, like, you know, where are you from? What do you do? You know what I mean? Like, crap, you know, you have to have some level of like different thing to it. Do you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, and I use you as an example. I go, Dan does impressions and voices, but he does impression of voice as they come up within his funny things he's saying. It's not like,
yeah, exactly.
It's not as a guy goes like, someone just didn't just go like, hey, dude, you could do a pretty good Snuffleupagus impression. I say do comedy.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Big J Okerson, and I hope you enjoyed this week's Best of the Bonfire. You can listen to the show live every Monday through Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern on Comedy Central Radio, Sirius XM 95, or on demand on the Sirius XM app. Be sure to follow us on social media, at The Bonfire SXM.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.